the word this morning, the anchor still holds. I'm thankful that this hope we have still holds. We're not letting go of the promise, but it is going to be worth it. No matter what you're currently staring at or what trial you're in the midst of, it is going to be worth it because of the promise that He has for us. Why don't we thank Him again for that promise? Lord, You didn't have to give it to me, but I'm thankful I've got a promise of heaven, Lord. I'm thankful for Your plans for me, and I know that they are good, as Your word says. I thank You, Jesus. I am more and more convinced of what Jeremiah said, for I know. You don't have to tell me, and you're not going to tell me otherwise. That's not stubbornness, that's just faith. I know the plans He has for me. Plans for a hope and for a future. And to all of our guests and saints alike, if you didn't know it, God's got a plan for you. He has a plan for your life. And it may not look like it right now with what you're going through, but God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for you. And that's the evidence of that is the way He's moving and working in this service tonight. It's no accident His presence and His glory is here, but God has a work He wants to do in each and every single life. He's got a plan for you. And many times, and it could be argued every time, that plan involves His Word, the Word of God. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God, an anchor in our lives? So thankful for His Word. In light of His Word, we're going to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 3, start at verse 11. So thankful for the presence of God that we feel here tonight. As I mentioned, I don't believe that's an accident. Never is. But God has intentions for this night. This is Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter number 3 and verse 11. For what is passing away was glorious. What remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we have hope tonight. And in this particular instance, Paul's talking about hope and the power and the ministry of the Spirit. We use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted. In the reading of the Old Testament, from this day or to this day, there are still those whose perspective and vision is veiled because the veil is taken away only in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies in their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Verse 17, one of my favorites. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That Spirit is in this room tonight. It's in your lives tonight. Someone needs to take that to the bank. There is liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is. But we all, verse 18, with an unveiled face, we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And one other rendering of that last verse says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we're changed into His glorious image. He makes us more and more like Him as we're changed into His glorious image. Tonight I want to preach to you from this passage and from this title, Changed by His Glory. Changed by His Glory. If you've been changed, saint of God, would you just lift your hand right now and thank Him for the incredible and eternal work God has done in your life, Lord. I'm so thankful that we don't have to go back, but we have been changed by Your glory, and we're believing by the end of this night, through Your word and through the faith of everyone here, that someone's going to be changed by Your glory. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Tonight I am not altogether sure why they have such a strong appeal in my personal life, but I constantly find myself infatuated with a simple yet powerful household tool. Although I can't tell you exactly how many I have purchased or owned over the past several years, I can tell you it has to be at least several dozen of these useful and illuminating objects. Illuminating being the key word. I know I may have already given it away, but I'll tell you anyway that I am speaking, of course, of the flashlight. I love flashlights. I'm sure there's a couple individuals who can relate. I know there's at least one right here on the platform. I'm borrowing his tonight. And a couple more over there in my family, my dad, I know Junior, he likes flashlights. You see, actually every single year around Christmas time, several of these are exchanged as gifts. For the past several years, we have exchanged these flashlights and given gifts. We don't have a plan. We're just like, hey, you can never have too many flashlights. This last year, Christmas, I found a 10-pack of LED flashlights at Home Depot. And I thought, my brother needs those. So I picked them up. I took them to Chris and I wrapped them and everything. I had this other gift that I thought he'd be more excited about. But he opened that one. He's like, oh, this is awesome, you know. And then I look away and I hear him screaming, yes! No way! 10 flashlights! I'm not sure why he needs 10, but like I said, I don't think you can have too many flashlights. We love to give and we love to receive new lights. The brighter, the better. In fact, last year, 2015 Christmas, I gave my dad a light that was rated 1,300 lumens of brightness. That's incredibly bright, very bright. Needless to say, all of our retinas were permanently damaged after that Christmas. When you're 5 feet away, it's not hard to do that. And for whatever reason, within my family, and maybe some of you have done this as well, it may sound strange, but we've developed this sort of unwritten competition between us. We don't ever speak about it, unless, of course, you're preaching, I guess. But we all secretly strive to have the brightest flashlight. It may just be a guy thing. We make competitions out of just about anything, but we want our flashlight to have the highest lumen rating. We want our light to project the furthest. We want it to shine the brightest. We want it to illuminate the greatest amount of surface area. Truth be told, if it was possible, I would want the International Space Station to be able to see my flashlight shining in through their windows. I just like flashlights. Like, Houston, we've got a problem. There's some guys with some awesome flashlights. Ask them where they got them. I'm sure they would. It seems as though every year we're after the newest and the greatest flashlight. And with the increase of technology in this field, our competition continues on this unofficial level as man-made lights increase in their brilliance and in their radiance. We search for brighter and more efficient lights, trying to outshine all the others and more practically trying to brighten our surroundings. That's why we buy them, or so we say. We want the best. We want the brightest. We want the brightest light known to man, which may be possible in the natural realm. But as you may have guessed from our text tonight, I've not come to discuss the natural realm alone. I've not come solely to give you a tutorial or review on the greatest and newest flashlights. That'd be a waste of your time. But rather, in light of the limited brilliance of man-made light, in light of the limited brilliance of natural light, I've come to shed light on an unnatural source of radiance. I've come to tell you there's a source and there's a light that in the realm of humanity cannot possibly be matched. And even with our friendly family competition and with all the technology at our disposal and with our advanced developments and inventions, I've come to tell you that there is not one man-made or natural light or source that can compare to the splendor and the radiance and the excellence that is found in this heavenly source. It is simply unrivaled, incomparable, and unparalleled. It cannot be matched. It cannot be fabricated. It cannot be reproduced. It cannot be snuffed out, drowned out, or blotted out. It cannot be measured in lumens or limited by dead batteries. It has existed for eternity. Even in the current darkness and the climate that we're in, it has never faded. It has never faded, and it will never fade. Tonight I'm preaching to you about the all-inspiring, ever-present, and overwhelming glory of Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us the heavens declare the glory of God. Heavens, I got a flashlight. The heavens declare it. And the earth showeth his handiwork. Numbers says all the earth shall be full of his glory. This can't even fill this room. All the earth shall be full of His glory. Habakkuk says, the glory, His glory covers the heavens, and the earth is full of His praise. His brightness is like the light. He has rays flashing from His hands. The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Lord, my God, You are very great. You're clothed with honor and You're clothed with majesty. You cover Yourself with light as a garment and You stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Psalm 24 calls Him the King of glory. Psalm 29 calls Him the God of glory. But you and I, we just call Him Jesus Christ, the only wise God, the glorious God, the excellent God. And that glory and that presence is in this room tonight. His presence is here tonight. I wonder if you just take a moment and have a praise break and glorify this God that is in this room. Why don't someone lift your voice right now and praise Him. His glory is matchless. It cannot be compared to any other. Hallelujah. His glory is excellent. Throughout the Bible, it's compared to many things. You've already heard it compared to a bright light throughout the Old Testament. John chapter 1 makes the same comparison. It likens Jesus to a light that darkness cannot comprehend. It's compared to a pillar of fire and pillar of smoke in Exodus. It's compared to a covering over the people of Israel in Isaiah. Revelation 21 says His glory alone will give light to all of heaven and all its inhabitants. It's compared to the goodness of God in Exodus 33, and it's established in that chapter that no man can see the glory of God's face and live. No man can see the extent of His glory and live. And most notably throughout the Old Testament in Ezekiel, His glory is likened to the holy presence or aura of God as He co-inhabits a confined space with humanity. But tonight, even with all of those comparisons, and with all that we know from the Word of God, you and I, we are still compelled to say that His glory is simply indescribable. Even the Greek and the Hebrew words used to label His glory cannot accurately convey it, because the reality is humanity, you and I, cannot fully comprehend or adequately evaluate the glory of our eternal God. Words cannot explain it. Comparisons fail to match it. Phrases cannot define it. Buildings cannot contain it. The flesh cannot stand in it. Darkness cannot control it. Governments can't regulate it. Time cannot tarnish it. And hell cannot handle it. I'm preaching about the glory of God, and I wish I could describe it to you tonight. It is excellent. It is wonderful. It is awesome. It is majestic. It is glorious. It is brilliant. It is unbelievable, extraordinary, supernatural, and humanly incomprehensible. And I'm telling you, not even my thesaurus can describe it. We cannot limit His glory within even the expanse of human words or verbiage. It's too great and too wonderful. It's the glory of Jesus Christ. And do you realize it's here tonight? We've been feeling it all night. We felt it this morning. We felt it in pre-service prayer. The glory of an eternal God has chosen to come here. He's chosen to be with us and to allow us into His presence. I think we ought to thank Him again. What a privilege we have, church. What a privilege we have to be in the glory of an awesome God. We thank You, Jesus, for allowing us to experience it. It's here tonight. And you can be changed by it. You can be changed by it. You and I, we have the privilege to behold His glory, to experience it. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4:6-7, for it's the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. This God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What a treasure it is. We have it in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. As Paul noted, His glory shines into our hearts. Many of us have already experienced that, and we're able to experience it through the power of the Spirit. Let me just pause here and say, if you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost to the glory of God, you can experience it tonight. You can experience it before you leave here tonight. If you've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, it is indescribable. There's nothing like it. You will be forever changed. You'll be different. God will do a new work and a fresh work, and you will be renewed. You'll be made new, is what the Scripture says. You can experience it tonight. It's the glory of Jesus Christ. We can have it and experience it. We can experience the work of His Spirit. Paul says in verse 8 of that 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that this work is even more glorious than that of the Old Testament. The work of His Spirit, the gospel, and the knowledge of His glory is much more glorious. And we have it regularly. We can experience it regularly. But then I want you to notice something. Something that jumped off the page at me. Paul issues a sidebar. I call it a warning of sorts in verse 13. He said, Moses, he had experienced God's glory, but he put a veil over his face so the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. And then he says, for unto this day the same veil remains unlifted. To this day, there are those who are wearing a veil, a spiritual veil over their heart or their eyes. Because the veil is taken away only in Christ. Even with the power of the Holy Ghost, with all the things I just described and its radiance and its brilliance, even with the indescribable glory, he says, there are still those who have a veil over their eyes which has not been removed. Even in the atmosphere of his glory and his presence, there are those with a veil over their hearts and they cannot experience the glory of God. And I know that's speaking specifically about the children of Israel, but I just want to tell you this week, or last week when I read that, read through about how great God's glory is and how excellent His glory is. And then I read that there are those who have a veil over their spirit and over their life. Something just stirred in me. I just felt the check in my spirit as soon as I read it. Because Paul's going on about the glory and how excellent it is. But then he makes it clear that there are those who are blinded because of a veil over their hearts. Now Paul says in 1 Corinthians that to some extent we all look through a glass darkly. We can't fully behold His glory. But then he speaks separately about this veil in our text. And even in light of the brilliance and the radiance of the glory of God, the reality is, for any number of reasons, that sometimes our perspective can be veiled and skewed and twisted. God's glory is just as radiant. Doesn't change. It's just as brilliant. His presence doesn't change. You can come in on any given Sunday morning or Sunday night and experience His presence. It doesn't change. He's here. But we change. And over time, because of any number of reasons, a veil is put over our eyes and our faith. Alex and Lola, I'm going to have you guys help me real quick. I'll grab these chairs over here. I want you just to put them right down here. Just stagger them any which way. I'll give you this light, Lola. It's going to be a simple, albeit crude, illustration. But I think you'll get the point. Alex, this grocery bag, this is your veil. Why don't you put that on real quick? Lola, you can turn that light on. Just don't shine it in anyone else's eyes. I'm going to spin you around a couple times. Now notice, this light is bright. I just looked at it. It's bright, it's radiant. It's not diminishing. We put a fresh set of batteries. Brother Pastor Levine put a fresh set of batteries in there, so hopefully it doesn't diminish. And it's not going anywhere. I told Lolo, stay put, don't move. God's glory doesn't diminish. His presence doesn't diminish. It stays the way it is. He doesn't move. He's not jumping around and playing a game of hide and go seek. He stays the same, but life, Life moves, Alex. You can just start feeling your way around. Obstacles move. It's hard enough to get through life without a veil. There you go. It's hard enough to stumble through life without a veil, church. It's difficult enough. Life changes. The terrain changes. And when we live life with a veil, when we view the glory of God through a veil, when we view His Spirit and His presence through a veil, we stumble through life oftentimes on the same obstacles we've stumbled on before. Some of you have experienced this. He went back over that obstacle, same one. Same sins, same habits, same obstacles, same trials. We stumble over the same things. And I know this is funny. We got a guy walking around with a bag on his head. I understand that. It's a simple illustration, but I want you to get the imagery tonight. This is where some of us are living. For some of us, this is all too familiar. Well, Alex, thank you guys so much. Why don't we give it up for them? Thank you. This room is lit. We go to the extremes. This world isn't as bright as it is in the church. And for some of us, that's our existence right now. Can't find a way. God hasn't moved. He stayed where He is. He's constant. He's faithful. But life changes. And somewhere along the line, our perspective becomes veiled. We know where the glory of God is. We know all about it. We know its brilliance. We know its radiance. We even know where to find it. But we continue to live life with a veiled perspective, and we can't seem to experience His glory like we once did, and we can't experience His presence like we once did, because somewhere along the line, it was a circumstance, or there was a sickness, or there was a rift in our family or in our relationships, or maybe it was a diagnosis or a sinful habit, or maybe someone betrayed you and someone hurt you, or maybe it was an attack of the enemy against your life, or maybe it was just an ongoing trial and circumstance that came against you and it tainted your perspective, and consciously or subconsciously, we've allowed that circumstance or that enemy, or we allowed ourselves to place a veil over our vision and over our faith. And along with that veil, let me just list a couple symptoms that come with it. Discouragement, confusion, depression, fear, anxiety. And I'm not trying to project these onto anyone, but I'm going to just tell you those are some symptoms that come with a veiled perspective. That trial, that circumstance just starts to cloud our vision and muddles our faith to the point where we know His glory's there. We know it's here when we get to church. We're going to hear the Word of God. The choir's going to sing. God's going to move. We know where it is. We know what it can do in our life. We know it can change us. We know it can revive us. But we can't seem to get to it. Because we're looking through the lens of our trial. We're looking through the lens of hurt and pain. We're looking through the lens of a veil. And instead of letting faith determine how we view things, we've allowed our situation to dictate how we view the world and how we view the glory of God. We're not looking at this anymore. I know I'm digging in and getting deep on you, but I feel like God wants to do a deep work tonight, because someone's been walking around fumbling through the darkness, and He's seen every moment of it. God's ready to deliver someone tonight. Someone hear me. You've been looking at things all wrong. You've had a veiled perspective for too long. Your situation should not determine how you view the glory of God. Your trial should not dictate how you view the presence of God. Your storm should not keep you from His presence or keep you from experiencing His glory. But I've come to tell someone that veil has been there too long. But by the power of the Holy Ghost and the authority of His word tonight, that veil can and will be removed in the name of Jesus. God can remove a veil. He can remove depression. He can remove doubt. He can remove fear. You don't have to view the world through depression anymore. God's ready to remove a veil and show you His glory and His splendor all over again. God is ready to remove a veil. It can be removed tonight in the name of Jesus. Our text said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Some of us have had a veil so long, we forgot what His Spirit feels like or His presence feels like. But God is ready to remove that. And with His Spirit will come liberty. Our text in verse 15, it says, but to this day, a veil lies on their heart. But verse 16 says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. The veil is removed. It's gone. You don't have to live in doubt. You don't have to live in fear or constant anxiety or in bitterness. And I just feel like taking a moment right now. God doesn't have to wait for my altar call. But if you feel like you've been living in some of those things, we're just going to do this humbly. If no one would look around, would you just lift your hand right now in the presence of the Lord? God could deliver someone right now in His presence. Or would you call on the name of Jesus, church, right now? Every eye closed, every head bowed. Jesus, we need You, Lord. I pray You'd remove a veil. I ask in the name of Jesus. If someone's been struggling, God, and they've been walking in darkness for too long, Lord, they've been looking around every corner, God, for fear or for anxiety or for depression, and that bitterness is taking over. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that You'd remove every veil and they'd be able to see the light of Your glory and Your wonderful presence. Oh, can we thank Him right now? Jesus, we thank You. We know You're going to do it, God. We know You're faithful. Hallelujah. 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 God's going to remove the veil. And when He does, when we get a glimpse of His glory, it will change us. Some of you may be wondering when my title is going to come into play. It will change us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, so all of us who've had that veil removed, we can now see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we're changed into His glorious image. The fact is, you cannot experience the glory of God and remain the same. Why don't someone just lift your hand and testify to that? You cannot experience His glory and remain the same. Someone that's in that's living in some darkness, you can look around right now and take faith. You cannot experience His glory and remain the same. When that veil is removed in God's presence, and we just start to, some of you have had this happen even today. You come down to an altar where His presence is, and you lift up your face, and you've got so much weighing on you. But all of a sudden, it's like all that's removed, and it's just you and God. And you begin to see how great and how excellent He is. And all of a sudden, all that stuff, all those things that look so insurmountable, they just begin to diminish in light of the glory of God. Isaiah said in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Train of His robe filled the temple. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out. The house was filled with smoke. I'd love to have seen it. So he said, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the angels, the seraphims, flew to Him, had a coal in his hand, and pressed it to His lips. He said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. A change. A change. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And He said, here am I. Send me. A change happened. In one of the most tumultuous periods of his life, after the death of the king, Isaiah had a veil removed from his eyes. It was a time of uncertainty, a time of sorrow. I just felt as I was typing this today that some of you are living in a time of uncertainty in your life. You've got a lot of noise going on in your life, a lot of things changing. He was in a time of uncertainty. Uzziah had reigned 52 years and he passed away. The people were devastated. They were in mourning. But in the middle of all that, someone just put yourself in his spot tonight. In the middle of all of it, Isaiah gets a glimpse of God. He gets a glimpse of God. In the middle of his trial, in the middle of fear and uncertainty, he gets a glimpse of God. He sees the glory of God. He finds himself in an atmosphere of God's glory like we have tonight, and it changes him completely. Not only are sins purged and taken away, but he leaves there with a mission, and he leaves there with a purpose. He leaves knowing who he is. Someone hear me tonight. I'm telling you, we cannot remain the same when we are touched and when we experience the glory of God. We cannot remain unmoved or unchanged when we're confronted with and we're faced with the glory and the presence of God. We cannot remain the same when we're faced with his glorious presence and all we can do is stand before him humbled to the point where the flesh just takes the sidelines. And all we can say is, woe is me. I'm not worthy to be in his presence. I'm not worthy to be here. And our response is, here I am, God. Send me. Whatever you want to do in me, God, in your glorious presence, do it in me, Lord. I pray you change me completely. Send me on my way with a change in my life. And tonight, I don't mean to make light of anyone's situation or trial. I know we face real obstacles and real sicknesses. I know we've got some things that look insurmountable, but I also know what the glory and the presence of God can do. I'm a recipient of it. I know what can happen when that veil is removed and we just get a glimpse of the glory and the splendor of God. Someone can leave here tonight delivered. Someone can leave here tonight healed in their body because of his glory. Someone can leave set free from sin or addiction tonight. Darkness is dispelled in God's glory. It doesn't have a chance. Fear in someone's life subsides in the glory of God. You've experienced it. Like I mentioned, when you walk into service and there is presence is right in front of you, and that fear and everything that's been weighing on you, it just goes out the window. And we experience his glory. Change happens in his glory. So I've come to tell you, it's time to let God take off the veil. And let his glory change us tonight. For some of us, it's time for us to get back to an altar where his spirit can do a deep work. Maybe there's a calling you put on the back burner and God wants to reaffirm it. Maybe there's something new he wants to do in your life. It's time to find ourselves in an atmosphere like what we have here tonight where the veil is torn off and we can see clearly the glory of God. His glory is here, church. God's presence and glory is here, and he can do a change and a work in your life. Musicians, you can come. I'm going to let you all pray in just a moment, let God do what he wants to do. But I want to share with you just a brief experience. You could probably tell I've had an experience with the glory of God and his presence. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the change God has made and continues to make in my life. There was one time in particular, though, several years ago, I was in college, still living at home, mom and dad. And I came across, was confronted with a circumstance that was out of my hands. To a young person, flat tire can seem insurmountable or hopeless. But I remember dealing with a very real struggle. One of those that just brings you to your knees. Drives you to your knees, really. At school, went home after school, just knew I needed to pray. Went downstairs where my room was, closed the door, took my book bag, threw it off, just found wherever I could to pray, just hit my knees. But sometimes that's how things happen. Sometimes that's how God works when we're just desperate enough. And we're hungry enough for a change. I began to pray in my room. I was Remember, I was near the front of my closet door, pouring my heart out to God for several minutes. Well, all of a sudden, something just changed. Just like something came into that room where I was. I can't even really describe it, honestly. I feel the same presence here tonight, but I really can't describe it. So on my knees before God, His radiant glory and presence just flooded, I would say, every square inch of that room. You know, it doesn't have to happen here, church. He can meet you where you are. It could happen in your car. It could happen in your basement. His glory flooded that space where I was, and not only the space where I was, but my heart. I remember looking up for just a moment and seeing again, I could barely describe it, but the most brilliant and radiant light I've ever seen. It was all there for me. I remember just felt like everything in me was just trembling. I didn't feel worthy. I still don't. I didn't feel worthy to be in His presence, but that brilliant and bright light and that glory and the love of God surrounded me, and I just feel God's Spirit moving through this room right now, because some of you have not experienced that for a while, and God's ready to let you know. He's ready to rip off a veil from your life, and He's ready to flood your spirit and your heart with His glory. And I'm going to tell you, to this day, I cannot even remember the trial, the circumstance I was praying for. I can honestly not recall what it was, but I can tell you, I remembered His glory. I remembered His presence like it was yesterday. I remember the change God made in my life. I remember what He did that day. When I got off my knees, I was different. I was changed. Everything was all right. God had done the work. He had let His glory shine in my life, and He's ready to do the same for someone here tonight. Would you stand right now, and would you let out a praise to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords right now? Before I let you come, would you just give Him glory? Oh, give Him glory, church. God is worthy. He's ready to do a work tonight. Give Him praise, Jesus. We worship You. Hallelujah. 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 God's already moving and working. I'm going to open this altar. Brother Luke mentioned this morning, He tore the veil. His glory flooded the earth. Tonight, God wants to remove a veil from someone's life. You may have been a saint for as long as you can remember, but we all go through it. God's ready to remove a veil from someone's life, and when He does, you will be changed. You can be healed, you can be set free or delivered. If you need anything from God, I want to open this altar right now. And I'd like for every individual, just begin to make your way forward and find a place to pray. Maybe you don't need something in your life, but God can remind you of His glory tonight. Would you come right now? Everyone who feels like they need a healing in their body, what can happen in the glory of God? Let me ask you, what can happen in His presence? Nothing is impossible. I wonder if you just begin to make room right here and allow others to come and lift your voice right now. Can we lift our voice as individuals and as the body and ask for God's presence? And Lord, right now in Your name, we ask that Your glory would flood this altar and flood this room in the name of Jesus. Would You flood every life along with it, God? Oh Lord, we can't quite see You right now, so I pray if there's a veil on someone's life, You'd remove it in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I need a healing in my body. I need a healing in my spirit. I need You to heal this hurt and this pain. There's healing in Your glory. Someone lift your voice. Someone lift your voice and get desperate before the Lord. God's ready. He's ready to flood your spirit. He's ready to flood your life.